I'm gonna officially get us started. I'll begrudgingly introduce myself again for those of you who are late. I'm just kidding. My name's Jeremy Graham, and Kimberly and I have the pleasure of being the chairs of the Loving Children and Family Committee for the five priorities. And Jane is sitting over here, and Jane is also a member of our committee. And if you meet Anna Spray, she's also a member of our committee. She's not able to be with us right now, but you might meet her throughout Synod. Now, I introduce all of us so that at any point in the week, if you're still around and questions are lingering or you want to have a further conversation, dig a little deeper with us, any one of us four are more than happy to take some time to speak with you during this week. This is a great time. One of the best things about Anik and one of the hardest things is how spread out we are, right? I mean, it's amazing that we're all one diocese, but it's hard to communicate. And one of the goals for our committee is to try to foster better relationships and communication among those who are actually all involved in the same work of doing children and family ministry, and to actually partner in that in a more strategic way, in a more beneficial way for all of us. I have the pleasure of introducing Kim, which I've never had to introduce my wife in this kind of context, and it's a bit befuddling for me. Welcome, guys. Come on in. My temptation is either to gush about her or to try to be really professional and then make it seem like we have a cold and loveless marriage. So I'll try to land somewhere in the middle. Kim, you know, the thing that I admire most about Kim in the context of children's ministry is watching her faithfully serve in this ministry for over 10 years. And just see the way that God has used her unique gifts to serve His church. And I think for those of you who are already doing children's ministry, you can attest to the fact that it can often be a thankless task and a quiet work behind the scenes. And so it takes a great deal of humility to park yourself there for a decade or more and serve the least and the littlest among us. And so I really admire that about her. And so watching her do this work, I've observed her adapt to a number of contexts that we found ourselves in, particularly three different contexts. One where she was working with, in a Birth to Three ministry, running a ministry to very small children and their families. And then moving from that into a context of a church plant where there was a new children's ministry starting up and so really training and discipling families, and mostly, you know, if you're in a church plant or a small church, you know what it's like. Everybody chips in, right? Everybody's working together. So really finding a way to get all the families on board. And then finally, seeing her grow into a role where she's doing a lot of resource development and doing a lot of writing, and really taking the fruit of her experience on the ground and transforming it into something that's actually practical and useful for others. And I've seen her really grow as a teacher and a trainer. So that's who Kim is in a nutshell in this context. And I think that's what has prepared her to be really valuable for all of us in building a ministry to children and families. And the tricky thing is we're all in different places, not just context geographically and culturally kind of in our different parts of Canada and maybe New England, but also in that our children's ministries, family ministries are very different sizes and different emphases and all that. So I think the challenge for Kim is going to be to try to speak to each one of your contexts, but I've seen her layout, her overview, her outline, and I think you're going to find that she's going to be able to really address your needs, not with, as Charlie said, not with programs, but with tools that will equip you to do this work on the ground. So let me pray for us as we get started. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us safely here today. We thank you that you have equipped us already to be ministers and servants of your gospel. Thank you that you've called us to be leaders in our churches. And we pray that you would anoint Kimberly with your Holy Spirit so that she can speak in a very relevant and practical way into the needs that we come here today with, and also that you would open our ears and our eyes to be challenged to hear what you have to teach us, so that we might go away today with a new perspective, perhaps a reframing of our understanding of children and families. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 That's really exciting to be here with you guys today. I would love to just be able to sit down over coffee with each of you and hear about where you're coming from and what you're doing and what's really working and what your struggles and frustrations are. But given how huge Canada is, that's really hard. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that we at least have this opportunity today. And I want to share a little with you, but I also want to give time both for you guys to ask questions and for us to do a little bit of conversation together and hear a little bit about what's going on in all of the different, not all, a few of the different churches across the country. We only have 90 minutes. I'm terrible at keeping track of time, so if there's someone who's got a watch, maybe you, Jared. Can you just tell me when there's like, when we're halfway through and
supposed
then
to press
when we've
this
got
too.
20 minutes left? So that I don't...
Pardon me, guys.
Is the microwave correct?
The microwave. Where's the microwave? Oh, I didn't see the microwave. That's great. Thank you. That will work.
Okay.
Okay, and we need to finish.
I think this is going to start now, if I know what I'm doing.
We only have just over an hour. Can I go?
I think it already is.
Okay. So I would love just to have some idea of not who I'm talking to, where you're coming from, before we get started today. So how many people in the room are currently working in children's ministry in some capacity? Great. Okay, we got 10. And how many people in the room are clergy, sort of who are overseeing other people working in children's ministry? I love the fact that there's some people who put their hand up in response to both of those questions. That's great. And how many people did not put their hand up yet? Okay. Can you guys tell me really quickly what brings you here this morning so I know what your context is?
All right. I'm Nicole. I'm from St. James in Quebec. And there's over 30 kids at our small church. So I just thought that it would be a good place to be at.
Great. That's wonderful. Good. Great. Well done. Anyone else?
I'm Leslie Fergus from Windsor, St. David's, and I'm just going to be getting information to be able to give back to our team when I go back in.
That's wonderful. Good. Okay. Anyone else?
Sure, I'm Jack from New Song from Prairie, and I'm a similar boat in here to try to share some information back with the group.
Great.
I just see a lot of churches that are made up of elderly people, and I think the big challenge is how do we engage children, and that's not my area. I haven't worked in that, so I'm just trying to figure out what are some of the ways that work that you can engage children in a conversation with those elderly people.
Yeah, that's a huge question. I think Anna, it can be divided up into churches where there's no kids, and the question is how do we get kids? And then where there's lots of kids, and people say, what do we do with all these kids? Mm-hmm.
I am from Dauphin, Manitoba, and I was ordained to be studying under Bishop Stephen for First Nations ministry.
Great.
And so looking to start doing some children's ministries and women, but predominantly with children. We don't have very many children. There are about 6 or 7 that come regularly, and they're all different ages.
Last 2 years ago, I have a good youth group and Sunday school. But after 2 years, now we are trying. Last year, a whole year trying to rebuild our Sunday school and youth group, but we can't do that.
Right.
So it is very important thing to me to or to rebuild
yes.
Sunday school again in my parish. We have our children, we have our youth, but we didn't know what the sources I can use to gather them again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I'm deeply aware of my own inadequacy to be able to... Oh, sorry, who did I miss?
Yeah. I'm Pamela Bales, and I'm from Christ the King in downtown Toronto. I have worked with children for 60 years, from nursery school right up to teaching Bible class. And our church does not have many children. We just have two little girls right now, thanks to the arrival of our new rector. But I have been praying for years for an influx of children into that little church, and I want to be ready for them.
That's good. That is so in line with what I'm going to say today. So that's a great point to jump in. Good. So I'm going to start by talking for a little bit. And then I'm going to give you guys a chance to ask some questions, which I'm sure I'll leave you with. And then we're just going to stop for a minute, and I'm going to give you all a chance to actually sit and think and process and pray a little bit about how what we've gone over so far into your own context. And then we're going to work together for a little while, working through sort of philosophy down into a really practical, so what does this mean and what do I do with it level? And then if we have any minutes left, which I don't think we will, we can take more questions. Hello.
Sorry.
That's okay. Do we have seats? Oh, perfect. We have two chairs.
Really?
They're just waiting for you guys.
One there and one over there. They let me leave the registration. Over here?
Yeah.
Sure. Thank you.
Okay. Well, we're all coming from really different church contexts, as we just heard, with different experiences, to learn about one area of life in the church, which is ministry to children and their families. So why are we here? Here are some assumptions that I have going into my talk today. One, we believe that children are part of the church. We believe that children can come to know and love Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior from the very beginning of their life. And we believe that we have a God-given responsibility to pass on the faith that's been given to us to the next generation. So Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." You all know those. You know what the very next thing that comes in Deuteronomy is? "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." And then if we jump into the New Testament, and we see Jesus interacting with children. He sets a child in the midst of the disciples, who are in the midst of a great big fight about which one of them is the greatest and the best. And he says, "Unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." That's from Matthew 18. So Jesus also warns those who would cause children to stumble in coming to him. That it would be better for them to have a great millstone fastened around their necks and be drowned in the depths of the sea. It's pretty strong words from Jesus, and you just see so clearly his heart for children to be with him and in relationship with him. And I wanted to state those assumptions going into our talk today, because in a lot of churches they're not assumptions. Children's programming and children's ministry can be babysitting so that parents are able to participate in the service. Mm-hmm. It can be done because they know they should do something for children so that they'll grow up and then be a part of the church. But everything I say today comes from the assumption that children in and of themselves are a part of the church, and we have a responsibility to them, and they are a great blessing in turn to the body of the church. So what God longs for, and hopefully what we all long for, is to have churches where this is happening, where our faith is being passed on and passed down, where parents are being equipped and supported to live out their faith alongside their children, where children are lovingly welcomed into the life of the church and brought into life with their Lord and Savior, And so they grow to know and love God from the very, very beginning of their life. But the reality is, as I said before, a lot of Anik churches have few or no children. And there's a lot of projects or plants where if families don't begin with that plant, people are really unsure about how to attract kids and families to their church. There's huge limits in resources of time and energy and training and money and volunteers. And I think in the conversations I've had with people, there's either a whole lot of excitement about all of the possibility and all of the potential in Anik right now in children's ministry. And then following that, usually about a year later, a lot of overwhelm about what to do and how to move forward. So I really am hoping and praying that you will leave today encouraged that you can go home and next week have something that you can do to begin. Because I think you just have to start in teeny tiny ways. So how do we get from where we are now in this context to this picture of passing on our faith? What can we do to ensure that children and families in our church and in our homes and in our community are coming to and growing in their faith? Any person in this room who spent any time working with children probably has some ideas in their head in response to that question. Children's ministers are an incredibly resourceful bunch. But the real question is, what does God have to say about this? And what does the Bible have to say to us about how we get from where we are? What is his plan for how we grow ministry? So I'm going to lay out a really big roadmap right now with some really basic biblical principles for passing on our faith. These actually apply to a lot of ministry areas, hopefully all ministry areas, but I'm going to try and then touch down in children's ministry and show us how they apply. A lot of you are going to want more resources than I'm going to offer this morning. And part of the reason I'm not doing a ton of that is because between now and Christmas, a website will go up on the Anik homepage. And under these three categories of home, church, and community, we'll offer far more than I'd ever have time to go through with you this morning. And our hope is that those resources will answer some of the more detailed and specific questions that you may have. And I know someone's going to ask me about those things, so I'm just going to say that right off the bat. Okay, so where do we begin? We begin with prayer. We don't grow a ministry that brings kids to Christ. We don't have a single technique or curriculum or gift that is of any use in and of itself. It is God's work to grow the church. It is not ours. And growth will happen in his timing and in his learning. But what he does ask us to do is to be faithful and to come to him and to ask for his help, to seek his way instead of our own, and then to leave exactly what the fruit of that looks like to him. And so the very first thing that we all have to do is to pray. We need to pray not just for success in our ministries, but we need to pray to discern God's timing. So is it even the right season for you to be beginning a ministry to children? Is it time to add another program? We need to pray for wisdom in trying to choose materials, in trying to decide who to ask to teach, in trying to figure out how to love and serve the children in your care best. We need to pray for the kids we have and for the kids in our community. And we need to ask boldly and confidently for God to bring children and families to our churches, trusting that children are part of God's church, and it is part of his plan for them to be there. And as we seek God's help and God's will in all of these things and many, many more, as we pray, he changes our hearts and our desires to be in line with his heart and his desire for the church and in serving children. And that is where we have to start. That is step one. And if we don't start there, then we're working on our own strength and our own ability, and we burn out really, really quickly. And so we have to pray, and we have to gather the church to pray. We have to ask our clergy to pray. We have to gather people in the church, even if there's no kids, to pray specifically for children and families to come. And we need to be faithful in doing that work, even when we're discouraged because we won't have kids yet. Now, I think a lot of us, and I certainly have struggled a lot in my life, knowing how to pray and knowing what the point of prayer is. And as we go on, I want to suggest a few books for you guys that aren't necessarily just about children's ministry, but that I and others have found hugely helpful. And the first one is this. It's called The Praying Life by Paul Miller. And as you seek to be prayerful in the ministries you are doing, if prayer is something you struggle with, I cannot recommend this book heartily enough. It's really clearly laid out and has really short chapters, so even if life is full, you'll have time for it. And I think it is a huge help. It's written at the bottom of this page. It says on the bottom of the page of this prayer, I've written the names of the authors of the books, and I knew you would all work through all those things. Okay. So that's the first thing. The first thing is prayer. The second thing that we need to work on is preparing fertile soil. I wasn't sure exactly what words to use to describe this, but I like pictures, so I've used the picture of soil and growing. I hope it works for you. Now, whether you have 0 children in your church or 100 children, if there is going to be any healthy and ongoing growth, you're going to need healthy soil. And this isn't just for new or baby ministries. If you currently have a children's ministry in your church, this is just as true. So prayer, which we just talked about, is definitely a part of that. But if we get more specific, here's some questions to think about to try and figure out what the soil in your church is like. How are children and families welcomed when they arrive at your church? What about during the service, when they get wiggly or a bit loud? What about during coffee hour or fellowship time? Do the adults in your congregation take time to talk to the kids? Are the people serving communion prepared for children to come and receive a blessing or to receive bread and wine? Do your children ever address the children in your congregation from the front apart from kids' talks? Do they ever speak to them outside of the service? Do you have volunteers in children's ministry who are not parents? In other words, is your church ready to be a place where children are going to grow? Are the hearts of the people in your church soft towards children? Are they welcoming children into the body of Christ? Or are they hindering them from participating until they act more like adults, communicate like adults? The church is where God's people meet to worship Him together and to encourage each other and be encouraged to receive and give love. And children are supposed to be a part of this. They are a blessing in this. We need them. And children need to be a part of this kind of community and this kind of family, especially in our current cultural climate around kids and families. It might be their first taste of what it means to be one of God's children in a really tangible way. And whether that taste is sweet or sour will make an impact on them that will last their entire lives. So when you're teaching and preaching, can you be clergy on the lookout for places where there's clear implications from the text on how we can better love the children and the other weak and vulnerable amongst us? Can you think about every part of your service liturgy through the eyes of a 5-year-old or their parents? Do you bring kids back into church and then do 15 minutes of announcements? I've seen so many churches do that. Are there ways to intentionally create intergenerational events or programs where children and teens and adults and seniors all gather together and get to know each other? Sorry. This is a really countercultural model for community, and it is a great gift as the church that we have this heritage and way of being together. And even if you don't have any children in your church right now, can you begin to pray as a congregation for families and start looking for ways to work on these things now so that if you have a family who arrives, they are welcomed and loved well that family will be far more likely to come back the following week than if you start when you have a family arrive. So Ken Bell, who's actually here this morning and is director at St. Timothy's Church in North Vancouver, he shared the idea with us of a prayer partner ministry. So each child or family has been partnered with an older member in the congregation, and they pray for each other, and they get together socially together outside of Sunday mornings, and they build an organic relationship with one another. And I just bring it up as one creative way of creating this kind of soil. And ultimately, this is we're talking about building a Christ-like community for children to participate in and to grow in. That's this picture of soil. So again, if you're wanting to read and think more about this, I have another book for you. This is my favorite right now. It's called Children Matter, Celebrating Their Place in Church, Family, and Community. It's a collection of articles, and it is probably the most holistic and wide, but still really grounded and helpful book on children's ministry that I've read. And again, it's written at the bottom of that page in your thing. It's got five or six authors. So I think if you type in that name, you should be able to find it. Because it's a collection. Yeah. And if you have any trouble, feel free to email me, and I can help you track them down too. Okay. So we pray, and we build a community for children to participate in. We work on having fertile soil and preparing that soil. And that brings us to proclaiming God's word faithfully, which is the last thing I want to talk about. Now, when I have conversations with people about children's ministry, this is what everybody wants to know about. And the way that this question is asked is, what curriculum should I use? That is always the very first question. And it's a good and important question. But if you skip one and two and jump to three, you're going to be in that cycle of burnout that I started off by talking about. Because you're going to be one person trying to implement and use a curriculum in a church. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It would be great if that was the answer. If I could send you all out the door with some pieces of paper. But it doesn't. And there is a really huge array of children's ministry resources. People have realized that there's a lot of money to be made in saying that they have a piece of paper that is going to lead to children being in your church. Some of them have videos and really great graphic designs and leaflets to send home with parents and catchy titles. And some of them promise this is painless for volunteers. Zero work. Open and go. And there is so much choice, and there's so many agendas at play in the children's ministry curriculum world. And I don't think that the intent or desire of everybody writing children's ministry curriculum is in light of where I started my talk this morning, which is not always to pass on faith and grow children in relationship with God. But what curriculum you're going to use is a really good and important question. I think historically, children's ministry and children's ministry resources have been pretty dreadful. Most of what is out there has either been faithful but incredibly dry, and no child is ever going to engage with it and enjoy it, or most children's ministry curriculums until recently have pretty much just taught moralism. The application is almost always self-centered, so you should therefore go and do this. They don't point children to who God is, they don't teach who he is, and the goal is not to build and begin those relationships. And honestly, I think about 95% of what I've looked at the end of the day, that's what it's doing. So really be on the lookout and be really careful as you look for resources. Make sure if you don't feel confident in your own theological understanding to go through a curriculum and look at it, take it to somebody who is, because it is really important. I don't want to minimize that at all. But I'm very happy to say that I think since the advent of the Jesus Storybook Bible, there has begun to be some change in children's ministry curriculum. I don't think there's any curriculum I found yet that I'll give a gold star to, which is why I wrote it. I don't give a gold star to mine either, but, there's a few things I want to clarify though before I jump into suggesting specific resources and curriculums, and some things that I'd like to encourage you to use as benchmarks that you measure any resource you want to use against, which might be different from what you've walked in here thinking about. So, I don't know if I'm going to be preaching to the choir here or not, but just in case I'm not, I have to say all of these things. Whether it's before a service, or during a service, or during a kid's talk, or in the pews with their parents, as I said before, part of the responsibility that we've been given is to hand down the faith to children that has been delivered to us. To teach the faith to the next generation, not just by osmosis, but really directly and specifically. We have the responsibility to introduce children to who God is, as he's revealed himself in the Bible, and then who we are, what our identity is in turn. And any curriculum we choose has to line up with that priority. What we call curriculum is actually just a resource, though. It's a piece of paper designed to equip someone to teach. But what's actually taught to children, that is their real curriculum. So I'll try and say it another way in case I've lost you. When your minister gets up to preach on Sunday morning, he or she will probably have a document in their hands, as I do right now. It's paper, and on that paper is an outline or a script that they've prepared to try and help them remember what they want to say, what they want to teach. But their sermon is not the piece of paper. The sermon is what you all hear as you sit and listen. It's what you learn, what God does in your heart as you sit under that teaching. So while resources that you choose are important, they're only ever going to be as good as the person using those resources to teach. So here's a bunch of questions to help you figure out where you're at with this. Clergy and leaders first. Do you know what resources are being used in your church? Have you actually sat down and looked through them? Can you sign up on them? Would you preach the main points in those children's ministry lessons? Have you asked for time to go through those resources with the person in charge of your Sunday school or with your volunteers and teachers? Have you spent time not just looking at the big picture outline of what the curriculum says it's teaching, but actually in the lessons specifically, piece by piece, craft by craft? And are those resources true to what God says in the passages that they're trying to teach? Have you checked? Did you actually open your Bible and see? Is this lesson on baby Moses true to what this passage in Scripture says on baby Moses? Penny could give us many wonderful illustrations of how this is not true in most curriculums. What's your criteria for Sunday school teachers? Is it the person who's willing to go downstairs every single week, who's willing to do it so you can check a box and be able to offer children's ministry? Is there any kind of training, preparation, mentorship, accountability for them? Do they have enough support? Do you meet with people in children's ministry on an ongoing basis to see how they're doing and answer any questions that they have? God reveals himself and draws his people to himself through faithful teaching of his word. And this is just as true with children as it is with adults. We want to use fancy curriculum that's going to be attractive or fun or entertaining, but just the way adults respond and grow when God's word is faithfully taught, so do children. And in God's time and in his way, he's going to bless the faithful teaching and preaching of the word. We can have absolute and unshakable confidence in this. So choose resources that do a great job, not just of laying out scripture, which is important, but also the equipping and training the teachers to teach. Choose choose resources that are focused on introducing children to the God who made them and who loves them and who has rescued them. And then your curriculum, what's actually being taught, will be far more likely to be in line with what God desires for his children. That they would hear his word faithfully proclaimed and come to know him and love him and glorify him above all else. Okay, he's been a book recommendation. Love getting to show you guys this book. Gretchen Wolf Pritchard has written a book called Offering the Gospel to Children. I reread this book probably every year or so. It's a beautiful picture of what ministry to children can look like. She's got some wonderful ideas. But she also does a beautiful job of marrying all the things I'm talking about and giving you something that's really living and dynamic to shoot for. So I encourage you to have a look. There's another book called The Bible Story Handbook. Called The Bible Story Handbook. And this is by John and Kim Walton. If you do not feel like you have got the theological background or understanding yourself to be able to look at a lesson and know if it's actually teaching the Word of God or not, this has got a lot of the most commonly taught Sunday school narrative stories in it. And it actually says, mistakes to avoid. Right, this is what most people in most children's ministry curriculums teach on these particular stories. But it gives you lesson focus and application, biblical context, interpretational issues, background information. It prepares you to be able to teach beyond just what's on the piece of paper that you're given.
Like so 2 pages.
Yeah.
It's not a huge thing.
It's really, really short and sweet. So this is a really great book to have. That's all I'll say about that. That's good. As far as curriculum resources, I have a few today that I will recommend based on the criteria that I just laid out. But there's just nothing out of the box that's going to work perfectly for your church with your teachers and your kids without some tweaking. I'm also biased because I have the incredibly fun job of getting to use resources for people to use in children's ministry. And saying to you guys today that I have these things has me simultaneously shaking in my boots. And excited about the possibility that maybe something that we've done will actually be a blessing and encouragement to you all. So out of all the curriculums that I've looked at, Dwell has got a preschool curriculum. I don't necessarily like their older kids' curriculums, but their preschool curriculum is really pretty good as far as the starting place goes. It is, you pay your $150 and you get all of your bits of paper kind of curriculum, but it goes through God's big story and paints a picture of who he is from week to week to week to week, and it's relatively easy to use. And leaves room for just play and being together rather than lots of intense crafts each week that are really labor intensive for people working in ministry. So that one is good. The Jesus Storybook Bible curriculum is good. It's really geared for about grade 2 and 3, I think. So it doesn't work great for older or younger. And it is a little bit repetitive. You probably will have to, by the time you get to week 8 or 9, mix it up a little bit. But it's good. And as far as preparing teachers to understand what they're teaching, Tim Keller has done most of the materials to prepare teachers. They're really good. Yeah, they're really good. In some ways, you could have your teacher work through that just for training purposes, and it wouldn't be a bad thing. The Gospel Story Curriculum by Marty blah, blah, blah. His last name, McKinnon, just got along last name. Sorry. He's also done 2 family devotionals, one called Old Story New and one called Long Story Short. They're both really good. And he's got a picture Bible, kind of like the Jesus Storybook Bible or the Big Picture Story Bible by David Helm, that is also good. Grapevine Studios has done a funny little curriculum. They're like $10 PDFs online where they have kind of workbook pages laid out for the kids, and the teacher reads the Bible, and the kids are set up to draw little stick figure pictures that go with the story, and the frames they have and what they ask the kids to draw help lead them through the main point of the story. Those are great. They're really fun. They even have ones that little kids can trace when they're too little to draw on their own. So, you know, Aspire is a really inexpensive, easy curriculum. It's good. There's not as much teaching for teachers attached to those, but it would not be hard to grab a commentary or that book that I just mentioned and use it alongside something like that. St. John's Vancouver has got curriculum, which we are very happy to share with any church that's interested. It is not as polished and pretty as what you'll get when you pay money for things, but if you're interested in seeing what we have, we're happy to share it. And Penny at St. John's Richmond and me have been working together on trying to refine some of those. She is by far the more organized of the two of us, so we're a good team. And there are many, many other people doing curriculum and many other curriculums out there that are good. I'm not saying here's the good ones, everything else isn't. These are just the ones I've come across that I'm happy to endorse. And again, on the Anagogue site, we will have these, and as we encounter others and other people bring others and show us what they're doing even, we're really happy. As long as it lines up with those things I just talked about, to put it on our website and to see it out there. So I think I've talked almost enough. So we've broken apart these three areas of prayer and preparation and proclaiming God's word. But the reality is that all three of these things need to overlap and intermingle. You can't separate them out into neat pockets in actuality. But I'm hoping that what I've said today will help you see the place and the importance of more than just the curriculum that you teach to children during Sunday school from week to week, as what we need to be doing in order to build healthy children and family ministry in Anak churches. That is my longing and my hope as you leave, and that you'll feel encouraged in your ability to do something and to start somewhere. I think that's all that I want to talk about. Let's start. Does anybody have any specific questions or things that you felt like I wasn't clear enough about in what I just said? Ken?
More just a comment. One of the things we found really helpful in developing our program, once we sort of developed our philosophy and why we're doing what we're doing, was asking the question, what do we want these kids to know by the time they're, if we get them when they're wee little and, you know, 2-3 years old, by the time they sort of finish with kids' church time going into youth groups, that 7-8 year period, what do we want them to know? Mm-hmm. What do we want them to come out with? And as we thought through that, the answer to that for us ended up coming out with what started off as a 3-year circular curriculum is now a 6-year curriculum that we're writing. But that really was an important question. What do we want them to know? And based on that answer, we've now decided to develop a 6-year curriculum. But it was just an important question. I mean, for some churches that maybe, you know, right now we just want them to know the gospel story, in which case, then that's your focus. For us, it was broader than that. But anyways, it was an important question for us. So I don't know if that's helpful for our others, but that was a really important question for us to figure out.
Yeah, absolutely. Once you're sort of beyond we have a few kids who've gone through the big gospel story a couple of times, that's kind of like the what's next, right? Mm-hmm. What do you want to teach? Absolutely. Any other questions?
Not a question, but sort of a tag on comment. I'm also a special education teacher. And I somewhat irreverently ask classes, students, as we go through material. And it's important to have content, because without the content, you can't go anywhere else with it. But I tend to present some content and then say, and now so what? Mm-hmm. How does it apply? Mm-hmm. What does it mean? Mm-hmm. And that's discussion. Mm-hmm. That's not lecture. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so even as whatever you were,
this room is hard. I'm sorry, you can't even see each other. Yeah.
As Emma was saying, and as you said earlier, it's. Content's important, but content isn't sufficient.
No. I think that's those other things, right? Praying, yes. and community. And G.I. Packer says that you're only a teacher if the person you're trying to teach is learning something. And I think what you're talking about is kind of the holistic and relational part of teaching. Teaching, especially with children, is a hands-on, on the ground with Play-Doh and crayons and talking and making room for where they've come from and the wiggles and the issues that they have, not having a perfectly behaved classroom of children who attend as you speak. Those kids probably aren't learning very much, even if they're behaving really, really well. Yeah, children's ministry is a messy business. It is. It really is. Yeah. So it's, you know, when we did a children's ministry conference on, Kim was, you were there, catechetical children's ministry is what we called it. And Penny was there. And we talked about a lot of those kinds of issues, you know, like you have what you want to teach, but then you have the child that you are trying to teach the content to, and how do you hold those things together? And I think on the ground, we could have spent all morning talking about just this. I would have loved to spend all morning talking about just this, but I really wanted today to paint the big picture, and in subsequent years and through different opportunities, I hope to be able to go into those things more. Yeah,
question about the children worship.
Yes.
And normally when the adults kind of gather together to worship, normally the Sunday school teacher would take them to downstairs or another room for Sunday school.
Yeah.
But what part of children worship kind of play in the whole children ministry?
That is such a good question. I'll restrict myself to 1 or 2 minutes. I think kids need to be in church for part of the service. I think that we do a disservice to our children in light of everything I said about them being part of the community, both for the adults in the church. I think having kids in church is a blessing to adults, as well as for the children to be blessed by being part of that community. So at the very least, I think kids need to be in service for a bit. And we need to consider the children in service during that time that they're there and really be careful. You know, are we singing hymns that they'll actually be able to participate in? How can we help them participate in those hymns? Can we teach them downstairs so that they know them? Do we have the liturgy written out maybe in a bigger font on a piece of paper so that kids are able to follow? You can do children's bulletins, especially if you have the same liturgy every week that allows kids to engage and participate in the service. So that's one part of it, and I think a lot of that's working with the clergy in your church to help them be aware and work on that time. The other thing is, Penny's done a lot of this at St. John's Richmond, but we actually see our children's ministry time not as a Bible study with a craft that happens during church, but that what they do when they leave the service is a continuation of the worship service. And so we have used liturgy with kids. We have a really strict form that we follow. The same way in church you do this, and then you do this, and then you do this. We continue that in our children's ministry. You do this, and then you do this, then you do this. We try to teach them from the time they're in preschool that our time together is a special time in a special place. It's not rowdy like you're in a gym. And that takes a lot of consistency amongst the people who are teaching, of expectation and routine. Kids love it. They thrive on it. They rest. They engage more. They're less anxious. The same way we can step into a church service and rest in that, kids can step into Sunday school and rest in that. And I've seen it over and over and over again. It makes a huge difference. So, I could have spent all day today talking about this, and I hope we'll be able to do, I'm on the catechism committee, and both in the catechism committee and in the Loving Children committee, one of our major hopes is to be able to come up with resources and video blogs and things so that we can have these conversations and you guys can get encouragement and information, because you're asking really good questions.
So in your context, do you kind of combine the children's service with the Sunday school, or you kind of have to have the two separate sessions, the one for worship and another is for Sunday school or Sunday school teaching?
Sunday school and worship should be the same thing. So in our church, kids come in, they start the service in the service, and then they go downstairs to their classes. But when they get to their classes, we don't flip out of church mode into Sunday school mode. Our Sunday school classes are a continuation of that worship in kind of a more developmentally engaging way. So, you know, we start, "The Lord be with you," and also with you. We sing songs together, we pray together, we hear the word of God spoken, we engage and we learn. The big difference is that with adults who might respond to the word of God by listening or writing notes while they listen to a sermon and then maybe praying quietly about it afterwards, kids might need Lego and markers and paints and Play-Doh to be able to engage with and think about the story. But we really try and see our children's ministry and our Sunday school time as part of their Sunday morning worship service. Does that answer your question?
Possibly too down to the nitty-gritty, but like at what point in small churches do you break up your Sunday school into
different
age groups and stuff? Because you're talking about curriculum, and this one's good for...
When you have the volunteers to do it.
So it's all volunteer-based in a sense.
When you have enough people to be able to teach the children you have well, then you can separate them.
Just to say on that, we don't.
Yeah.
We have all the kids together, and our philosophy has been... No, just as we don't break up adults based on their intellectual ability, we're not going to break up kids. Mm. Now, it works for us. It doesn't work for everyone. But that's, don't feel you have to break them up.
Yeah. I do think that there needs to be some sensitivity about what we're teaching little ones, though. And I think Ken and I might disagree on this conversation before.
We just taught Amnon and Tamar, so yeah.
I really think that we need to be careful that all of God's word is good for children, but I think we do need to be aware of developmentally who the people we're teaching are. And when you're trying to teach a 3-, 4-, 5-year-old, you're dealing with a person, but you're dealing with a person who's very different from a 7-, 8-, 9-year-old. And I think being sensitive to that is part of how we love the children in our context. But you need to know the kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
In our church, only during the sermon, the Sunday school and some teenagers, they go to the another class.
Yeah.
And they also discussing about the same sermon story.
Mm. Right, yeah.
And when the sermon ended, again the Sunday school kids come into the church and they're taking the participation in the rest of the service.
Yes.
And in the last Sunday, mostly when they're the 5th Sunday, the last Sunday of the 5th Sunday of the month, the whole service conducted by the Sunday school and the youth. And when they conducted, everyone taking the participation in the service, the small children and the teenagers, they're collecting the offering and they are preaching and they are telling the story. So we're doing the last 5th Sunday of every month. So whole service conducted by the Sunday school.
Family service. Yeah,
so this is very encouraging, and everyone's.
Yeah, I think family services done well can be a wonderful thing. We do them at St. John's Vancouver and at St. John's Richmond. I was at St. John's Richmond before I was at St. John's Vancouver, which is why I keep looking at him.
Can I just add just one thought? When you're talking about what age to, you know, you want to be careful with the little ones, I find in our church, it's the other way. Everybody seems to gear down to the little guys, but then it's the kids who are between grade 4 to 6 who they're not getting enough meat, right?
Yeah.
And so that's where I really appreciate what you said about the curriculum. Like, we use Dwell, but we tweak it, like, big time. And it works, because it is who people are who are teaching, and it's the tweaking of it. So,
well, because it can happen the flip way, right? You can be teaching stories to 3- and 4-year-olds that don't work, but you can also get a kid in grade 4 who's been hearing the same stories every year since they were 3.
Yeah.
Jeremy's working on a grade 4 to 6 curriculum that's kind of like youth group Sunday school version.
Okay.
And he's doing Joshua, Judges, and Ruth.
Oh,
right on. And in the book of John. So stories that they probably haven't heard yet, you know? Ahud, the left-handed, and her. Yeah.
That's one of them.
Yeah. Which is great. My daughter's 10, and she's really enjoying it. She's coming home with, you know, the big wide eyes. Yes, what your answer is.
What about getting the right people to be involved in church school? How do you evoke the gifts of children's ministry when you are?
If you know the answer to that question, let me know. I was just going to say, okay, and I think on this note, I'm going to ask everyone to stop because we are all doing what we are all so prone to doing, and we are jumping to all of the specific details in all of our churches. And what I want to do now is to stop because the answer to that question is prayer. You guys, on the sheet that I gave you, have got a page that asks some questions. Can I have a copy of it just so I can? Okay, so here you are. Where are you starting? Strengths and weaknesses, resources and needs. Think broadly about resources. Do you have a prayer warrior in your church? Do you have a group of people who are really great at welcoming? So think big, not little. In your own words, what is the purpose of ministry to children and families at your church? This is kind of like what Joan was talking about downstairs, you know, clarifying where it is that you want to go. What do you think a few next steps might be in each of these three areas? And then what questions are you left with? I go to workshops and talks, and I think it's really great, and then I go home, and I never actually have time to sit down and think about it. So today, right now, I want to actually give us 5-ish minutes, maybe a little more, just to work through and think through some of this stuff. Starting with prayer, and then thinking about preparing fertile soil in your congregation, and then thinking about proclaiming God's word, and please do move through all three of those things. And think about your context and just spend a minute writing, or, you know, not writing, if that's not how you process. I think that would be good. And I'll let you know.
It's 12:02. What time do you want us to?
Yeah. I've got one right there.
And how long do we have?
Up to 5 minutes-ish, depending on how the groceries go. It's an organic solution.
Is anything an extra pen? I forgot all of mine downstairs. Yeah. Sorry. I have a box of them downstairs.
I'm pretty sure I brought one.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh,
thank you.
Does anyone else need a pen? Okay. So we're going to have to do this pretty quickly because I don't want to cut into lunch for people. What I'd like to do now is have one person, a volunteer for us, in three kind of different demographics for churches to share what they've just come up with for their church and then open it to the floor to see if other people have suggestions or encouragements for that person in their context in light of what they've just shared about where they're at going forward. Please, I know all of us probably can say lots of things, but if we keep it brief, it'll give the opportunity for more people to speak and for us to get through more than one context, one congregation. It'd be nice to do at least a small one and a big one, and maybe we'll really have time for three. So does somebody have a church where right now you don't have any kids attending? Yeah, ish. Can you share for us in a couple of minutes? Are you willing to what you just
said? I could do it in fewer than that, probably.
Okay, great.
We actually have a 15-year-old and a 13-year-old, and that's it. And we get the 30 children. The strengths that we have, though, is that we have teachers and we have a real commitment to this as a congregation and as church leadership. And last Sunday, someone brought a 1-year-old. And the congregation loved it. So we welcome children. Even the ba 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 ma 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 ones. Weaknesses, we don't have. One of the unfair things that we have done is to lean very much on the two kids that we have to try and bring more kids. Mm-hmm. That is not a good thing. Mm-hmm. And I discourage that. I mean, if they bring friends, that's lovely. Mm-hmm. But
I'm a clergy kid. I have great mercy on all of the clergy kids.
Yes. We also have no real space in our church to set aside. We have church. We have coffee, vesting, kitchenette, bathroom, and that's it.
Yeah.
So that is something that we really have to address.
Yeah.
In terms of resources, again, we have people who have been Sunday school teachers before, people who are teachers, and we have a good set of children's Bibles, and we have met about this.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very much on the same wavelength. We have some funds that have already been set aside, and some resources have been purchased, and our needs are children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
That's good. That's really good. So what about prayer?
And regular prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I maintain that we will not need to have a service where kids come in and we care thoughtful about and then say, well, next Sunday we'll have something for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're ready the first time.
Mm-hmm.
The first child comes.
And you just gotta wait for God's timing and being faithful in the waiting. That's the tricky bit. Yeah.
I just wanted to be an encouragement to you because I'm from Blackwood Hamlet Community Church. We're a very small church.
Mm-hmm.
We were a home church and then we moved into a storefront space.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been praying for families specifically for about 5 years now. And our biggest need right now is space because we have had three families join us. So we now have half our congregation is children. So it was praying and praying and praying for 5 years, and now we've run out of room. So it's a good problem to have, but it is still a pretty serious problem to have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and then now you got to pray for space. Right?
Yeah.
It's funny how God works that way, you know? He always answers another prayer and simultaneously gives us something else to start praying about. That seems to be the way it goes. Does anyone else have anything that they... I'm sorry, I can't remember your name.
Isaac. Isaac. Great. One of the new ones.
Good.
Well,
that puts you in context.
Does
anyone else have anything to add to what Isaac said?
Was it Isaac who was sharing a moment ago?
Yeah.
It's a headless voice.
I know.
Isaac, can you share, when you say you're ready, in if a family comes, it's not like, oh, come back next week, we'll have a children's ministry for you, but you're ready. What does it look like to have, if you're a church without children, to be ready at the drop of a hat? What does that look like in your context?
We have experienced teachers. We have a real sense of using the service as the basis for the Sunday. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, we've got, you know, crayons and stuff that we can't interest any of the 60 plus people, 60 and over people in. But we've got what we need. And again, a sense that there's content, and then there's learning. Mm-hmm. And there's application. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, I think, a place where we'll be particularly strong. Mm-hmm. Because we've had Sunday school teacher meetings already. Mm-hmm.
That's
good. So, we are ready.
Okay, we're running out of time. So I want to jump to, is there somebody here who wants to share who has a currently active children's ministry with, a substantial number of children that attend on a regular basis? I know there's a bunch of you. Who wants to share? Anyone? Can I pick on you, Monica?
I can talk, yeah, sure. So we're at St. Peter's, St. Paul's, Ottawa. We have 45 kids that come every Sunday, give or take, sick, whatever. We currently have 24 volunteers. We're on a 1 week on, 3 week off rotation. And there are so many elements to it. So basically what happened is last year, the Martins, who were at St. John's before, they moved to another parish, and so we needed a Sunday school teacher. And so my lovely husband looked at me and said, "You love kids, you have a teaching background, would you do this?" And I'm like, "No, really? Okay, I'll try." You know, so last year it was basically like, climb through what curriculum are we going to use? And Jesse set us up, the previous pastor set us up with a really, he chose well, and he, like, it was a really good fit for our congregation. We just kind of, I felt like I was like sinking the whole year, just like trying to make sure the volunteers were showing up, trying to make sure the kids were getting what they needed, trying to make sure the parents were happy because their kids were complaining that they were getting the same stories over again, and, you know, just like fighting through all of that. But we have kids. And so this year, Father Jared, he's the one who looks like Hagrid. They just left. He's amazing. He's such an encourager. He has such a passion for teaching kids catechism. Mm-hmm. Everything that you've said has been such an encouragement. I'm like, yeah, check, check, check. Like, we've started, I think, from the right place and moved that way. The problem we have is kind of the opposite of what Isaac has, is we have a lot of people who love kids, but who they feel it's a babysitting for the parents, and it's also it's great to say you have lots of kids, but to actually have to step up and do something about it is tricky, right? So getting everybody encouraged and on the right track to move in that direction. So that's kind of where we're at right now, and we've put together a group, and I'm really encouraged by the Children Matter book. I think that would be a really great kind of guide through for our group. But so mostly it's just getting the hearts focused on that, and I think prayer is where our whole congregation needs to be.
It's actually in that book of praying life where he talks about prayer is how God changes our hearts to be reflections of his heart, and that that happens in prayer.
Mm.
And that was really helpful for me in understanding the place of prayer in ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
good.
Yeah.
I want to have time to pray before we go today. So if anyone has a burning question they really want to ask right now, I'm going to give you one more platform to ask it. And then we'll pray together before we go.
Does anyone have experience of going, like, having a church where there's no children? And saying, okay, you know, how do we go into the community now? Like, can we, instead of waiting for the children to come to us, is there any way that we want to go to them? Are there any stories of churches that have done that, and how does it work?
It's really tricky. I don't know if everyone in this room is going to agree with me or not, but I'm going to put my opinion on the line anyways. It's really hard when churches do outreach for kids to actually transfer outreach into Sunday morning church attendance, especially when there's not already a base. I think it really comes back to that discerning prayer. Like, do you really have resources in your congregation so that it's not going to take a huge amount of something to do this outreach thing? Is this a natural outpouring of what God has given you? And if that's true, then I think there are circumstances where that can be a good thing. But I think that as a strategy for children's ministry growth, I haven't really seen that work.
Mm-hmm.
You just need one family to come and stay.
Yeah.
And really.
Can I add to that too?
Yeah.
Like, over the years, we did, like VBS to me is like a perfect example of that. You do this huge VBS thing, and if you've ever run one of those things, it's like high energy, there's puppets, there's a spaceship comes, all kinds of cool things. There's no way you can translate that into sort of like ordinary life on a consistent basis, and it's like the kids after a while, they get bored of it, because it'll never live up to the high energy of all of that kind of stuff. So I've noticed over the years is that sort of like the you might get one or two from a VBS, but in general, after all of that effort and everything, it's a hard go after that. So I think that's sort of like I've seen over the years.
Hearing you speak, I wanted to say one more thing to clarify what I just said. Outreach into the community to support and love kids and families in the community as the church is a good thing.
Absolutely.
That is part of our call as the church. Doing that to grow children's ministry in the church is something different. So I think we're talking about just separating your intent and those things. Because VBS can be a great way of, you know, giving people that first taste and it being a good thing, but I totally agree with everything that you just said. We do a huge VBS every year, and there's kids who come every year, and we never see them on Sunday.
But when they turn 20 and they start having questions,
it's not wasted, I would say, because the proclaiming the gospel is never a waste. But if you're looking for instant fruit, I don't think it's going to happen.
I just want to say before we pray that Jeremy, my husband's email address is jeremy@sjvan.org, and mine is Kimberly, Ley@sjvan.org. If you want to email either of us, both, you know, our personal responses, but also taking any feedback and questions that you have as chairs to the Loving Children Committee, we really welcome your questions and your needs, and anything else you want to send our way. We're really, really happy to hear from you and to respond as we can.
Can I say something so that we don't have to talk again after we pray? I'm gonna just have one to take it one step further. I've written on the back of my little thing here, name, church, email, and I would love it if you would be willing to share your name, church, email with me, and then this can be very useful for us, because just to share a little bit of the vision for our committee, you know, we're entering stage two, right, of the 3-year plan, and stage two is really to make the end of stage one is this. Is these resources being available through the website. The beginning of stage two is then to build a community of people doing children's ministry across Canada and to find the most valuable platforms for us to communicate with each other. I'm thinking that due to geography, that's going to involve your name, church, and email. So it would be good, since you guys are people who are willing to give an hour and a half to talk about children's ministry, that you would like to add your, either if you're here representing your minister, maybe you'd like to put their name, church, and email forward. The person who's in charge of children's ministry in your church. But that would be a big help for us, because I'm going to go, it's going to take me a lot of work to gather these names, but I can start today by gathering them. So I'll pass this around as soon as we're done praying.
Jane, would you close us in prayer today?
Can you pray for lunch then when you close, Jane? Because we were instructed to do that.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
I think we will just spend a minute.
Yeah.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the encouragement it is to be with brothers and sisters who are doing the work of the gospel with children and families. And so we thank you for the stories that we've heard that have fed our hearts. And thank you for your words to us through Kim. And I just pray for each one of us here that you would continue to do a work in our hearts as we go away from here, that this would be the beginning of a conversation between us and our churches. And Father, would you bless the work that's already going on and grow it, we pray. Make us men and women of prayer. And I pray that we would take that challenge home with us, to be putting prayer first. In Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I'm just so thankful for the Grahams and for their willingness to work into this. And Lord, just bless their ministry, bless how they move forward. Thank you that they have a strategic plan of step one and step two and how they're moving forward through this, Lord. And bless them as they make decisions about the curriculums they're using and about how they minister to us as a church body, Lord. Thank you that we have them and the people they work with to minister to us, and so that we know that we're not just lounging around looking for something, but we have something that is ours, that belongs to Anik, and that we can rely on them. And thank you for their openness and willingness to chat with us and to be willing to help us in our parishes along the way. Thank you, Lord.
Oh God, I pray for each person who is working with kids or thinking about working. I pray, Lord, that you would quiet our hearts and our anxieties and our fears and help us to trust in you, that all of our weaknesses and flaws, you have resources and strengths and abilities and powers and awesomeness beyond what we even can imagine, Lord, and help us to trust you and depend on you for what you will be doing and to be excited. And I also pray for each child that we come in contact with, that your gospel would come out through our words and our actions and our love towards them.
Father, I thank you for your love for children and the place of importance that they have in your body. And just teach us what that means and how to go out and move forward in that. And I pray for every child that has been in the Annick, every child that is, and every child that is yet to come. I just pray that a special anointing upon their lives, Father, that they grow up to be who you designed them to be. And that if they ever wander, Father, that they be held to the truths of your word, because you are.
We praise you, God, that we all get to be your children, that you love us too, and that same good news you entrust to us for the kids is good news to us. We have a heavenly daddy, and you will walk us through it. So we praise you that you are a great God. You have made these kids for yourself, and you're asking us to draw them to you and just not hinder them, Lord. So, Lord, work in us. We just hold to you our churches, our communities. Lord, make us places that welcome kids and love you. And help us to show the kids how worthy you are of the love, how good that love is, and it's what they were made for. So we praise you and thank you, God. We're not on our own. We're together with you. And you go with us, and you're already at work in the lives of children and families. Make us those safe places, hospitals and lighthouses and equipping schools, where each of us grows up into you and who you made us to be. And thank you, Lord, for today and this precious time. Settle in our hearts and minds and spirits what you have for each of us, and cover it and protect it in the name of Jesus, that we bring it home and unpack it with you. For we ask it in the name of our great and glorious Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.